Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. If you, like I said, if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call. Well, we're going to get started here. Lots to talk about tonight, and so we're going to try to get into things pretty quickly here. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity that we have tonight to be able to be on the air. We just pray that you would bless the program this evening and use it for your glory, Lord. We just want to ask that you would help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight, help us encourage believers and point people that are searching to Christ, and to just use us for your glory tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. I hope you had a good day today. I'm telling you what, it's northeastern Ohio to have two weekend days in a row, Saturday and Sunday, both absolutely gorgeous days. I hope you had a chance to get out of the house and enjoy some of the fresh air, some of the sunshine. I was trying to clean up some of the sticks and branches and stuff that are down in my backyard. I haven't hardly had a chance. It seems like every time I had time to do it, it would rain. And then because I'm at the bottom of a hill, my backyard gets really soggy sometimes. And so then I got to wait for it to dry out. And then when it's good weather, I don't have time to do it. And so yesterday I got out and I was going all over the yard and filling up a cart with branches and twigs and sticks and hauling them into the back to the burn pile so that eventually we can burn them down. But what a gorgeous day to be out. And then, of course, today, we had a wonderful day today, and just beautiful. Came out of church today, and beautiful weather outside, and no rain, wonderful temperature. Went home, had something to eat, sat out on the back porch, and enjoyed the beautiful weather there a little bit this afternoon. I'm getting kind of spoiled because for the last 20-plus years, every Sunday afternoon, well, actually, I shouldn't say it that way because for a while it was on Saturday afternoons, but it's probably been maybe 15 years or so now. Every Sunday afternoon after church, usually I get something to eat and then get around and get to the nursing home. We have a nursing home service and then finish the nursing home service and then head back to the hotel where our church meets. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And then once I get there, I have to work on stuff, get things ready for the evening service. And so it's just kind of a busy thing. It's my Sundays. I hear about people having these Sunday afternoon naps, and I always thought, boy, that'd be kind of a nice thing to have. Well, I'm getting kind of spoiled here these last, oh, it's hard to believe it's been almost 2 months now. The nursing homes have been closed down, haven't been able to get in, and we pray for the people that are there. We miss our residents there in the nursing home, but it is kind of nice having that Sunday afternoon leisure time and be able to just sit there, especially on a day like today, sitting out in a chair, just kind of dozing, listening to the birds chirp and flitter around the bird feeder, and just kind of nice. But good to get away and just kind of forget about some of the nonsense that's going on in the world around us right now. And there's a lot of nonsense going on. I have to admit, I'm a little dispirited. I missed the Ohio Spirit Week. I didn't find out about it till just recently. I guess last Monday was supposed to be pajama day, and one day during the week was supposed to be gardening day, and another day during the week you were supposed to wear your team colors or your school colors or something like that, and then Friday was supposed to be pizza day. And you think, well, wait, what high school came up with this? Or maybe it was college. No, that was the governor of Ohio's brilliant proposal, Spirit Week. I don't know. I didn't catch his Monday briefing. I don't know if he wore pajamas to that or not. So at any rate, I missed Spirit Week, so I'm a little dispirited, I guess. Well, maybe not. But at any rate, glad you could be here with us tonight, and glad you're able to join us. Hopefully we'll be a blessing and encouragement tonight. We're going to talk about some of the things that are happening, talk about some things from the Word of God. Let me encourage you to find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can find us there. And, you can go to our YouTube as well. Just go to YouTube and look for Live with Pastor Al. Or if you go to our Facebook page and click on it, I believe I have it set right now to take you from our Live with Pastor Al Facebook page. Should take you right over to our live streaming YouTube page right now, and hopefully everything's working well. I'm assuming I checked the microphones or the mic settings or where it's plugged in at, and everything was supposed to be on, so hopefully it's transmitting audio online tonight. Sometimes I think I've got everything set, and I have no way of knowing once I get going whether YouTube is broadcasting anything or not, so hopefully it's working fine. Well, again, I just want to thank you for joining us tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I'm Pastor Al, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have more information on that later on, but we've got some callers already calling in, and it looks like Nancy was the first to call in tonight, so we're going to go ahead and get Nancy on the line with us here. And Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Allen. Yes, I too really did enjoy the wonderful weather this week.
Oh, just, you know, incredible, wasn't it?
You know, yesterday and today I was out walking, listening to the birds. And matter of fact, there was a mockingbird in a church parking lot that was singing all sorts of different songs, because I guess they can mimic different songs. And I took a little video of it, and it turned out quite well. I don't know why, for some reason, if I do a video with birds singing, it turns out better than even people talking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
You know what's funny with bird songs? I was talking with a friend of mine today after church, and he likes to listen to birds and look at birds too. And birds in different parts of the country, different areas, different regions, you could listen to a bird here, go over to Pennsylvania, and birds actually have different dialects. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, just like, you know, you go to West Virginia, people talk differently than they do in Cleveland. Of course, you go to Akron and people talk differently than Cleveland. Yeah, we have different dialects and accents. Birds do, too. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And
That is fascinating.
Yeah, when you look at what God has created, that's why one of my favorite passages is Psalm 19, you know, where it talks about the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork.
Oh, yes.
And when we look at what God has created and we look at the magnificence of it and just incredible little details and little things that he gives us, you know, people talk about watching movies or television shows and looking for what they call Easter eggs, where there's something in there that people who are in the know or whatever, if they're really watching and paying attention, they'll see something, go, oh, that's from... Well, God's put, if you want to call, I'm not saying God endorses Easter eggs, but if you look at God's creation, he's put all these little things out there that when we discover them, we go, wow, that's incredible. That's amazing. So,
speaking of little things, that was our choir song this morning, God of Great and God of Small. And Pastor Andy did talk about how little things are important. He just gave a lot of good, really good examples. And then today was our 41st anniversary at Bible Baptist Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Andy's been there for 41 years himself. He started it, and he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, but very coincidentally, we purposely did not invite a lot of people there because we wanted to continue our social distancing, which we were able to, we've been able to continue doing that, you know, people sitting fairly far apart. And so it's our 41st anniversary, and we had 41 people. Everybody was
wow, that's pretty good.
But the exact number of people, which is the length of, you know, our church, but I just wanted to mention what we were talking about last week,
mm-hmm.
About sort of getting caught up in this coronavirus, you know, on radio talk shows, TV talk shows, and I was saying, is it a sin to listen to you know, a whole lot of them? And you said, yes, if you don't get out of balance. And I said, well, I think I'm in balance. But, you know, I wasn't really being accurate. But I just want to let you know I reformed myself. I did much better this week, and I did not listen to nearly as many coronavirus talk shows. I call them coronavirus TV and coronavirus radio. And I just concentrated on sermons and then reading my Bible and everything. So I just have to say you really convicted me, or the Holy Spirit did, I guess, that I was spending way too much time on that. So I feel much better. I've got it more in balance. Now, tonight, my question is effective witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people I know, when they're witnessing to someone, it's sort of like they're giving a lecture and they'll quote like one Bible verse after another or a whole
right.
thing of them. But I'm thinking about the, you know, for a lost person. But I was brought to mind 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which is saved it is the power of God. So it's been my sort of my way of witnessing to people. I'll just pick out a few key Bible verses like John 3:16, John 14:6. But I'll basically, you know, I'll just get to know the person first, you know, whatever the time I have
right.
with them. And then, you know, like small talk and, you know, how you doing? And, you know, just find out more about them. And then I just do more like just ideas and then throwing out a few Bible verses here and there. Because in my opinion, from my understanding from this verse and then just knowing people that are lost, they can't understand the Bible. You know, if you throw a whole bunch of Bible verses at them and sort of lecture them, I think they're just going to continue to be lost. So I just want to know what you thought about that.
Well, and what you said there in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. If you look in the next chapter as well, I believe that because of that, we have to pray for unsaved people that the Holy Spirit will move in their hearts. Because mm-hmm. when you look at mm-hmm. chapter 2, it says, talking about what Christ has done for us and his sacrifice, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Because a little mm-hmm. further down there, it says in, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the only way that the unsaved person is going to understand those Bible verses is if the Spirit of God moves on their heart and brings them understanding. Because, like I said there, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And we've been studying Calvinism at our church on Sunday mornings here lately during a 10 o'clock hour and our Sunday morning Bible study. And I am not a Calvinist. I'm not an Arminianist. Most people falsely think you have to be one or the other or somewhere between the two because they it's a false dichotomy thinking that you're on this this line between the Arminian position that believes that it's your choice to get saved, but you can also lose your salvation, and the Calvinistic position that God sovereignly decrees who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. And so if he decreed you to get saved, you can't lose your salvation. And so a lot of times people will say, well, I believe in eternal security, therefore I must be a Calvinist. But I also believe in whosoever will may come. I believe in free choice to choose whether or not to get saved. So I must be an Arminian. I'm in the middle. I'm an Arminian Calvinist or a Calvinistic Arminian. But the reality of the situation is it's a triangle with the biblical position, which allows for free choice as well as eternal security at the top. And as you drop down either to the Arminian position or the Calvinistic position, you're dropping down to positions formulated by men to try to understand difficult passages in the Bible. And John Calvin was, I believe, trained originally to be a Roman Catholic attorney. He was trained, you know, that was the only education they had in his day, was a Roman Catholic system, and he was trained to be an attorney. And as a young man, he was trying to figure things out. And so the Calvinistic position basically looks at this, what you were reading in 1 Corinthians and what I'm reading in chapter 1 and what I'm reading in chapter 2, and said, well, if the unsaved person cannot understand the word of God because it's foolishness to him because he's dead to the Spirit, he's dead to God, then obviously God saves him, makes him alive in Christ. Then they can hear the gospel message and trust Christ as their Savior. Well, that's not true, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you have faith, then you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So how then does the unsaved person come to understand spiritual things that the Bible says they can't understand? Well, there it is, I believe, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. God reveals them to that person. And when we pray, and the Bible commands us to pray for unsaved people, when we pray for unsaved people, I believe what happens is the Holy Spirit moves across the heart of that unsaved person and begins to shed light on that heart. If you want, by way of analogy, think of in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, you know, the Spirit of God is moving, remember, across the face of the waters. The earth is void and without form, and it's in darkness. That's like the unsaved person. And the Holy Spirit of God is moving across the face of the waters in that darkness. And what's the first thing God does? He says, let there be light. And I think that's what happens in the unsaved person, because in Hebrews chapter 6, it says in chapter 6 and verse 4, for it is impossible for those who have once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That's one long sentence there. But he's saying there's some people here who are enlightened. And it says they've tasted of the heavenly gift. God enlightened them. The Spirit of God moved on their dark heart that was void and without form, and said, let there be light. And they tasted of the heavenly gift. They're not saved yet. They were made partakers of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost has moved on their heart. They've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. And now they have the choice. They can either accept Christ as their Savior, or they can reject it. If they reject it, how can they be saved when they're rejecting the thing, the very thing that they know is the only thing that can save them? And so if they reject it, they can't get saved. And mm-hmm. and see, of course, the Arminians, they twist this one around because, again, the Arminian position was a man that was trying to understand and sort out things in the Bible that were difficult. And this is a difficult verse because if you put it in context, Paul was rebuking them in chapter 5, the end of chapter 5, for, well, he said in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for when the time for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of God, word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then when he goes into chapter 6, he says, let's go from the milk, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He said, let's go on to the strong meat. Let's go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. And now he gets some really strong meat here, where he said, for it's impossible for those who are once enlightened have tasted the heavenly gift made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And this is strong meat that has to be chewed over. And when you do that, you realize the Holy Spirit of God has got to open up that dead, dark heart. And so the preaching of the cross is foolishness, and just bombarding somebody with Bible verses, they're not understanding it. But when the Spirit of God begins to move upon that heart, and I'm convinced that that takes place when people begin to pray for that person. And when people are praying for that person, God begins through his Spirit to open up that dark heart. Now, they're not saved yet, but they're tasting of the heavenly gift. They're partakers of the Holy Spirit in the sense that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is working in their heart, and they begin to see and understand the Scripture, and they begin to understand their lost condition. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, he says in verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, what's happening here is now they've been made aware. They're not saved yet, but they now know the truth. They now know the only way of salvation is through Christ, the blood of Christ that was shed upon the cross when Jesus died to pay for our sins. And if they willfully sin and reject Christ, reject the knowledge of the truth that God has given to them, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, because they also know the wages of sin is death. And so they now know they've rejected the truth, and there's nothing left for them. So that's where people come under conviction. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit of God opening up the heart. And so sometimes it's like, you know, people are going out trying to plant gardens now. It's that time of year. And if you dig up a new piece of ground, it can be hard. There could be rocks in there. There could be some thick sod there on the ground. And it takes a little while to dig that up and get it ready before you can put that seed in there. And it's the same thing with the human heart. Sometimes God's got to till it up a little bit and get it ready to receive that good seed before that seed can go into that heart. Even Jesus said in the parable of the sower, some falls on you know, the rocky ground, some falls on the wayside where the birds pick it up, as some gets choked by the weeds, and some falls in the good ground. So, you know, so we need to pray for people as well as share the Scripture with them. And and I think we need to be led by the Holy Spirit as to when to press on further and when to sometimes back off, because you got to sometimes dig up that ground a little bit and then let it sit a minute. Maybe somebody else comes along and does some more. And then eventually they can receive the good seed, the gospel message, and it takes root and blossoms forth, and they come to salvation. So,
that's excellent.
Yeah, so that's what I say. You got to sometimes, you can't just bash people over the head with the Bible all the time.
Exactly. And I do really, I can't recall which Bible verse it is, but I really like that Bible verse. I'm sure it's in more than one place. And God rejoices with those that plant the seed as well as those that harvest. I can't remember.
We're all laborers together.
Yeah, we're all laborers together, because sometimes it gets very frustrating to me, because I witnessed to a lot of people the Holy Spirit has really worked in my heart. I think I told you 4 years ago I had this very serious car accident.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
I've just been so inspired to witness to people, and it's the Holy Spirit working in me. I'm not taking any credit for it, but sometimes I get discouraged because quite often I witness to the same person over and over, and I don't, only the ones that are receptive, or complete strangers, because I go out and walk in the park and I strike up a conversation if they have a cute dog or something, and then I get to know them and then I witness to them. But then I will probably never see these people again. But it is very consoling to me that even though we don't see results, if you just keep planting and planting, that's all you can do.
Yeah. So, we're coming up on the break. Let me give you this passage in 1 Corinthians 3. Okay. This is what you're talking about.
Okay.
He says I'll get down to the bottom of it in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then he says in verse 9, for you, we are laborers together with God. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Nancy. We're out of time on the break here coming up.
You covered it so well.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate that. And we're going to have another half hour to go, so we got a short break. So stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this evening, or at least stick with us and listen in. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And again, remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. From there, you can also link to our church website for the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we are still currently meeting. And in Ohio, we're very fortunate. Our governor has not banned churches from meeting. It's other things that he's doing that I may not particularly care for, but he is to be commended that he has not officially banned churches. He's allowed churches to meet in the state of Ohio, and that's good because we have been doing that. We're obviously taking precautions and, social distancing, hand washing, and we're not shaking hands. We're not going around hugging each other, and certainly the holy kiss from 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're certainly not doing that. We weren't doing that before either, I guess I should say. But we invite you to come out and visit if your church isn't meeting and you're looking for some fellowship. Also, a number of churches, I guess, did meet today. There was a number of churches, a move for a number of churches, at least in Ohio, to start meeting again on May the 3rd, which is today. And I have not had a chance to see any reports or hear any reports on that. I was talking with Nancy in the first half hour. Their church, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, has been meeting throughout this time as well. I know of quite a number of churches that have been meeting regularly. And there's some churches that chose not to meet. And then, like I say, I have no problem if a church chooses not to meet. If they believe that that's the right decision, that they believe that's the thing that they should do, that's fine. I support that. But what I do have problem with is when the government forces churches not to meet. And this is a problem, and we're going to get to our calls in just a second, but I was looking at something the other day in the Declaration of Independence in the second paragraph after talking about the laws of nature and nature's God and things that entitles to us. It says this in the second paragraph: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And it says that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's not limited to them. That's among these are. So this is just some of them. And it's interesting because unalienable rights. Now, typically today we would say inalienable, and I was trying to see if there's any big difference between the two, and the biggest difference that I found is that one is spelled I-N and the other's U-N. Most of the dictionaries that I consulted said that I-N tends to be the more modern terminology, and U-N, unalienable, as opposed to inalienable, was more common back when the Declaration of Independence was penned. But unalienable rights means that the government did not give them to us. These rights were given to us, endowed by our Creator. They are a result of the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's what they recognize. Now, whether or not people agree with that today, that was the recognition in 1776. And many of us still agree with that today. And so when you look at the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which says in all one sentence, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. This is not granting us a right. This is not the state giving us a right, creating a right. This is the state. This is the government recognizing some of the certain unalienable rights that were given to us, endowed by our Creator, rights that are entitled to us by the laws of nature and nature's God. This is simply a check on the government not to violate the unalienable rights that come to us from our Creator. This is why some of us are so adamant in saying that the government should not be forcing churches to not meet. If a church is in a situation where they can safely meet, I'm not advocating meeting unsafely. As I've said before, if I was pastoring a church and I was right on the side of the ocean, the church that we started in American Samoa, the ocean was on one side of the street. We were on the other side of the street. We were right there at sea level, well, a little above sea level because we met on the second floor of the building right across the street. And if they had come by and said, there's a hurricane coming, there's a 20-foot storm surge coming, well, that 20-foot storm surge would have went over the rocks and there alongside the road, and it would have flooded our building. Well, I wouldn't stand in the doorway and shake my fist and say, nobody's going to tell me I can't meet. I'd tell everybody to get out of there and get to higher ground before the storm surge gets there, obviously. But it's in this case, where we're seeing for no good reason churches having their rights violated in spite of the United States Constitution, and I might add state constitutions across the country. All 50 states have protections of religious liberty in them. When the government is trying to take away these rights from the churches, well, we've got a problem. Especially since the Declaration of Independence said that we are entitled to these laws or these unalienable rights that come from our Creator, and they're based on the laws of nature and nature's God. That's the God of the Bible they're talking about. And the government did not give us these rights. The government did not create these rights. The Constitution was an amendment put in that really was prompted by primarily the Baptist led by John Leland, a Baptist, influential Baptist pastor in Virginia in the 1700s. And he influenced Madison to add this amendment. And this is to protect the rights that we recognize come to us from our Creator. Well, I'm not going to talk much more about that right at the moment. We do have another caller patiently waiting, but I did want to share that. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got Terry, who's patiently waiting for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Bill.
Well, good evening. How are you faring up there in Canada?
Oh, it's been nice and warm.
Oh, wasn't it beautiful today?
Oh, beautiful. It's been a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, huh?
you guys are more blessed up there because only five people and can go to any church in London, only five people.
Well, and you know, it's unfortunate that Canada does not have a Bill of Rights, put in there. But of course, Canada, like the United States, shares a lot from English common law. Because of our common history as colonies of Great Britain. And some of these things were actually recognized in English common law because, in fact, in the early days before the Revolutionary War here in the United States, there were some people from New England who were reporting back to people in Old England saying that New England is becoming more like Old England, and Old England is becoming more like New England because Old England was starting to open up with more religious toleration, and New England was starting to crack down and become more repressive You know, the pilgrims fled England, you know, for religious freedom. But when they got here, they established religious freedom for themselves, but not anybody else. If anybody understands Baptist history in the United States and Canada, they would recognize that they were persecuted pretty severely by the Congregationalists in Massachusetts and some of the other places in the United States and Canada. So, but yeah, so we want to thank God for freedoms that we have.
I'm going to ask you, have you heard of Walter Martin?
Walter Martin, is that the Kingdom of the Cults guy?
Yeah,
the book, it's kind of been a standard book for a long time, and it's been republished several times with updates. And a lot of times people go into Bible school. I remember when I was in a Bible Institute when I was still in the United States Air Force. I was stationed in England, and a number of American missionaries that were planting Baptist churches in England at the time got together, and they had a Bible Institute because several of the American Air Force bases, RAF bases, I was stationed at RAF Chicksands, Royal Air Force Chicksands, and they were working with a lot of American military as well as some British nationals, and they started a Bible Institute, and I believe that's one of the books that they had us get a hold of and read portions of was Martin's Kingdom of the Cults.
Yeah, there's a lot of reading.
Yes,
I've been on this book for a couple of weeks now,
mm-hmm.
And I'm about three quarter way through it. I'm actually in the part where it talks about the 7 Day Adventist.
Yes, and in fact, that's a section that he actually had done some revision on, I think, over some of the older ones. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in that part right now, but mm-hmm. Certainly he's not considered in to be in a cult. But.
Yeah, because the original editions, he listed them more closely along with, like, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. In fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists rose out of the same failed prophecies, and I right at the top, at the moment, off the top of my head, I can't give the exact dates in the 1800s or the exact people that were involved, but it was a lot of people are familiar with it, where they said the Lord was coming back on a certain day. People put white robes on, sat up on top of their houses and barns, or up on top of hills. Yeah. People gave away things, sold their property, and gave away the money because they were certain. Then when he didn't come, of course, a lot of people were somewhat disappointed, obviously, and they tried a couple more dates, but it never quite worked out. And so both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists kind of descended from that. And unfortunately, both of them have a really bad track record of making false predictions or failed predictions, I guess you could say.
The Seventh-day Adventists have been given a bad rap.
Yep. Yeah, but in the Seventh-day Adventists, unlike the Jehovah's Witnesses, you can actually get saved.
Right.
I think
they do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Jesus Christ was actually Michael the Archangel, that he's a created being, that he's not God manifest in the flesh.
The brother of Jesus Christ,
brother of Lucifer, I guess, or the Mormons believe that, but
which is absolute nonsense. Oh, that's just right.
Mormons believe he's the brother of Lucifer. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he's Michael the Archangel, a created being, just like Lucifer. You know, the devil was Lucifer, the anointed cherub which covereth, originally.
Oh yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah, but the Seventh-day Adventists, they recognize him as God in the flesh, and they believe that he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that.
I was going to bring up something real quick about you were talking about the reformers, and
mm-hmm.
I sometimes wonder, you know, and that thought just came to me actually as I've been reading this book, is that you know, it sounds like to me that they're preaching another Jesus, because Jesus is the one that died for all, not just for some.
Right, and see, that's the problem when you get into some of the Calvinistic teaching. They would take a verse like John 3:16, where it plainly says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But they have to read into it, "For God so loved the world of the elect, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever of the elect believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But then it wouldn't make sense, because all of the elect, according to Calvinism, have to believe whether they want to or not. They have no choice in the matter, because they're created for the purpose of believing. And then people who are created to not believe can't believe, because they're not created for that purpose. Essentially, they're teaching that God created some people to be saved and populate heaven, and God created some people to not be saved and to populate the lake of fire for all eternity.
That's absolute foolishness, what they teach.
Oh, yeah, and if you think about it, it makes no sense, because at the Great White Throne Judgment, when they're cast into the lake of fire, ultimately, because their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because they did not trust Christ as their Savior, they're going out into a Christless eternity, because they were created to reject Christ, so they're being tormented for all eternity for doing what they were created to do. And I've even seen where some Calvinists actually have implied that they are going to rejoice for all eternity because they're doing what they were created to do. Now, that makes God a monster.
Oh, that's absolutely...
Now, and the truth of the matter is, whosoever will, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But obviously not everybody does. And, you know, God in his sovereignty decreed that the only way you'll get to heaven is by calling upon the name of the Lord, you know, putting your faith in Christ as your Savior. So the gospel becomes the only means of salvation, not good works, not great sacrifice, not being a good Buddhist or something like that, only by putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way of salvation, the gospel message. You know, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins, that he was buried, he rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But, yeah, so the Calvinist says you can only believe that if you're created to believe that.
Right.
And so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord becomes whosoever of the elect. Well, that makes no sense, because all of the elect, if they were right, all of the elect would call upon the name of the Lord. But then they also teach, as I was telling Nancy in the first half, that because you're unsaved and you're dead spiritually, you cannot call upon the name of the Lord until God actually saves you. I believe, what's his name, Pink? Is it Arthur Pink? I think it is. I was looking at something that he had written where he actually said, you have to be saved. God saves you. And now you're saved, you can understand the gospel message, and you can call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. But you're already saved. You know, this is nonsense. You hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God moves on your dark, spiritually dark heart, gives you understanding, and then he gives you the opportunity to accept or reject. Now, God, because he exists outside of time, and this is something Calvin had struggles with, because we're creatures of time. We are trapped in the timeline. We are constantly traveling from the past through the present to the future. We don't alter that. We don't have the ability right now. I'm not saying somebody in the future, somebody might come like H.G. Wells' time machine or something, but what I'm getting at is we're going from the past through the present to the future. God is outside of time. Past, present, future is all alike to him. So because the only way that Calvin could conclude that God could know exactly what is going to happen is that God makes exactly everything happen according to his plans. Foreknowledge equals forecausage in their mind. But I know the sun's coming up tomorrow morning, but that doesn't mean I'm going to make it happen. I just happen to know, because I can figure that out.
That's so, why, you know, when you were talking to Nancy, that's why I believe it is so important for us to go out and pray. We need to pray before we go out, and we need to pray while we're out.
Exactly.
People.
Because that's what has to happen. God has to move on that unsaved heart. Otherwise, the Bible verses and things just bounce off. Well, hopefully some of them stick around long enough that the person considers them. But I think that's also evidence of God moving in their heart and bringing those things up. And it is true, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We do have to share the word of God with people. And then over time, as the Holy Spirit works, he brings them under conviction, helps them to understand it, and then they make the choice. Will I trust Christ as my Savior, or will I reject Him? And
there's one thing that they do teach that I do agree with, and that's that nobody can come unto the Father unless the Spirit draws them.
Well, right, absolutely, and that's why I think it's incumbent upon us as believers to pray for unsaved people that God would draw them. I think that's why He tells us to pray. And see, both Calvin, the Calvinistic position and the Arminian position, both of them have some elements of truth. You know, the Calvinistic position that when you put your faith in Christ, He gives us eternal life and will never perish, as Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life, which by definition means it never ends, and they shall never perish, which means by definition never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, which means nobody can take you out of his hand, not even yourself, because, you know, you're just a man. So the Calvinists at least understand that what this means.
Right.
The Arminians, they understand that it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's your choice. But then they don't understand this simple passage where Jesus plainly said, I give unto them whosoever chooses to accept Christ as their Savior. God says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He even goes on further, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He claimed to be God in the flesh. And since we're in God's hand, nobody, including ourselves, can pluck us out of God's hand. We cannot fall out of His hand because God knows the future. If God knew that you got eternal life today, you got saved today, but next week you're going to lose your salvation, then guess what? You don't have eternal life.
That's a terrible teaching.
Yeah, and if you died in that state, you would go into the lake of fire for all eternity. And so as a consequence, Jesus would have been a liar here, or at least not knowing what He was talking about. And over in Hebrews chapter 6, I was talking about, I know I'm running out of time, just a little over a minute to go. Even if you could lose your salvation, which they teach in that verse because they misunderstand what it's talking about, but if it meant what they say that it means, it says it's impossible for them to ever get saved again. And you hear people say, oh, I was saved, but I lost my salvation, but I got saved again. That's utter nonsense. That cannot happen according to God's word.
You're saved or you're not saved.
Exactly.
Either you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit.
Exactly. And
have everlasting life.
Yeah, and of course that brings up another thing. I think that's Romans chapter 8 where he says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And there are people who believe you get saved and then later on you got to beg God to give Him your Spirit or His Spirit. And the Bible says we have the Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our salvation, and that we're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. You know, He's never going to leave us nor forsake us.
Today, for anybody that's listening in, if they're seeking God, today is the day of salvation.
Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. And and when we look at things in the world around us and this inordinate fear of a virus that even the CDC is now saying isn't killing people any faster than the flu, but still people are panicking. People are worried about death. The only cure to worry and fear is Jesus Christ. Hey, Terry, we're out of time. I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I want to thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week. Stay safe. And God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.